Today's scripture is James chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Read for you. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of more than 8,000 branch churches in the United States of America, Canada, Peru, Honduras, Bolivia, El Salvador, Argentina, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Chile, Brazil, Mexico, Panama, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, India, Mongolia, Israel, Palestine, Egypt, Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Gabon, Angola, Burundi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Tanzania, Botswana, Swaziland, Cote d'Ivoire, South Africa, Sudan, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Netherlands, Russia, Belarus, Dagestan, Ukraine, Estonia, Kazakhstan, Sweden, Ireland, Greece, Thailand, Vietnam, and other countries. And branch churches and local sanctuaries in Korea, and members who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and all the GCN and Manmin TV viewers. A lady got on board a train after buying a bag of chips and a book. When she went to her seat, a young man was sitting next to her, but he didn't make a very good impression on her. But since it was a designated seat, she had to sit there. And something strange took place while she was reading the book. The young man next to her was eating her chips. Thinking that he was a really strange man who had made a bad first impression, she looked at him, but he just kept on eating the chips. He was eating them so openly that she couldn't even ask him why he was eating her chips. She thought for a while, and to show that it was her chips, she began to eat the chips from the packet, too. But the young man just kept on eating, and she also continued to eat them with discomfort in her heart. When there was one single chip left, they reached the destination. The young man cut the last one into two halves. He ate one half and gave the other half to the lady. Then without saying anything like thank you or sorry, he just got down from the train and left. The lady was absolutely dumbfounded, but she just decided to bear with it. And before getting off the train, she put her bag into her bag. At that moment, she was so surprised. In her bag was the packet of the pack of chips she had bought. It was not the young man who ate somebody else's chips, but the lady herself. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes if we have prejudice about something, we'll be convinced of some things that are not true to be really true. I myself had that experience from time to time. If we have wavering partiality, we will give birth to falsehood. The young man had made a negative impression on the lady, and the lady judged and came to the conclusion that he was eating her chips. Without thinking about checking her bag, she just kept on thinking badly about the other person. In fact, the other person showed kindness toward her, but she not only I mean, she only thought badly of it as well. When we meet somebody or when we are in a particular situation, we can see the truth only when we look at the things without wavering and partiality. That is why the wisdom from above is unwavering and without hypocrisy. Only when we can look at everything through the eyes of justice and fairness, can we then discern what the truth is. This is the ninth session of the Wisdom from Above. Through the message, I pray in the name of the Lord that you may all have true wisdom in you, and you will be guided to the way of life and blessings. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last session, we learned that if we have partiality, we will eventually give birth to the fruit of falsehood. We can discern the truth in all things correctly only when we don't have partiality and bias towards one side or the other. Then let me tell you some of the things that are needed to have unwavering thinking. First, to incline towards the weak is also a bias in the truth. Exodus chapter 23, verse 3 says, "Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute." When a man of strength and a man of weakness fight against each other, people usually think it is more proper to stand up for the weak. They think it is something cowardly and self-seeking if they stand for the strong and the rich. But to discern the truth, we should not incline towards either side. God doesn't want us to shift to the left or to the right. He wants us to discern what is right and wrong correctly, and to discern with the eyes of love and compassion. Second, unless we have personally seen or heard something ourselves, we should never judge anything just by hearing it from somebody else. Especially about objects or people against which we have prejudice, it's difficult to discern the truth correctly, even if we have seen and heard something ourselves. Furthermore, if we just carelessly judge others or come to a conclusion just by hearing from someone else or with some speculations, we will be very wrong. Let me give you an example. Suppose you are investing in a business. Then you will conduct a thorough research of it. You will have to check the information very carefully as to whether your partner is trustworthy and whether the business could really generate revenues and so on. If you just invest a great amount of money just on the hearsay from somebody, who can you blame if you are swindled out of your money or if you suffer from a great loss? Chances are that, you know, the business may go wrong, then you will have some great loss, even if the partner doesn't swindle you, okay? This is not only concerning worldly business. We can make our hearts more upright and more just only when we are careful about what we see, hear, and conclude in everything. When I receive reports from church workers, I don't come to a conclusion just by listening to one side. When I receive a report from a person about somebody else's wrongdoings, I hear a little different story from that person himself. We can figure out the exact situation only after hearing from both sides. So you should not judge or condemn quickly, okay? Sometimes, even if it is surely an individual's fault, at times the person tries to conceal it or give an excuse for it. There are many times that I have just believed him. It is with my desire that he can have some rest in his heart and receive new strength to change because I believed what he said. Third, to be unwavering, we have to cast off ill feelings and self-centered motives. Most people have more, you know, lenient standards for those who are close to them or those who treat them well. For example, if somebody who is not very close to us breaks the rules, we say, "He's arrogant. He doesn't follow the rules and he acts with impropriety." But if our family members or close friends break the rules, we think they must have had a reason. among the unbelievers, when their children are beaten up outside, their tempers flare up first before they think about who is right and who is wrong. They don't think about their own children hitting other children. They just get angry because their own children have been beaten. The other children, I mean the other child may got hurt too. But the parents got angry. Just look at the wounds of their own child. So we have a saying, the children's fight soon becomes the parents' fight. In a meeting, if somebody whom we don't like suggests an idea, we just see the negative side of the idea. On the other hand, if a close friend suggests an idea, we only see the good point of it. When we say something or think about something, if we can feel any kind of ill feelings or self-centered motives, we have to be on alert and check ourselves once again. Especially if it is related to our loved ones or close friends, we must be able to act and speak in greater justice and fairness. I explained in the aspect of reasonableness already. There are situations in which we should not take even the things we can take. And there are situations in which we should not do what we can do. If we are in leadership positions seen by many people, we have to control ourselves even more. We may take some things because we have accomplished some righteousness in heart, and it is okay to take that much. But in other people's sight, it may seem it's lust and greed. Therefore, for the sake of those people, we should not take what we can take. This is a wise person before God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's scripture, James chapter 3, verse 18 says, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Verse 18 is like the conclusion of the word about wisdom in verse 17. If we are sanctified, we will have peace with everybody. Those who have peace with everybody will act in gentleness and in reasonableness. We will also be merciful and full of good fruits, and are unwavering and without hypocrisy. When we accomplish all the aspects in the verse 17, we will be peacemakers, and we will sow in peace and reap righteousness, as said in verse 18. The peace in verse 17 is mostly about peace with other people, and the peace in verse 18 is about peace with God. But sometimes, people think of peace with men only and break peace with God. Also, while they are actually violating the truth and compromising with unrighteousness, they think that they are wise because they have peace. Or sometimes their mind is weakened in some relationships with others and they violate the word of God. A good example is a person who acts as the guarantor for another person's obligations, or a person who lends money. The Bible tells us never to be a guarantor of another person's debt and have no debt but the debt of love. Since the Bible says so, I don't have any debt except the debt of love. So I don't ask for money. Even if I can pay it right back, I don't ask for money. After I came to know the truth, I have no debt except the debt of love. If we live by the word of God, then everything will be prosperous, and we will have peace in our heart. So, do not be a guarantor for another person's debt, okay? I always tell you not to have any monetary exchange among brothers of faith, or people will stumble. You may hear it a couple of times a year. But if a close friend of yours asks you to be his guarantor or to lend him money for his business, some of you forgot these words. But there are people who do not obey, and they fall into difficulties later because they didn't obey. Satan accused him because he violates the word of God. And God cannot protect him because he violated the law. If a close friend of yours asks you to be his guarantor or to lend him money for his business, some of you forget these words. It is not love to be a surety just because your brother is in difficulty and he is asking you to help. It is unwise, and you are causing yourself difficulties, and you bring great burden to your family and to your friend who asks for money from you. Maybe if you love him so much, then you can just give him what he needs. Otherwise, you will have difficulties because of money, and you will have enmity with one another. You are not edifying others in the church. Above all, because you are not obeying the word, God cannot protect you as Satan is at his work. We always have to think about the peace with God first, rather than peace with men. Since you break the peace with God, it's natural that you will break peace with man. Things will not go right. Things will become worse. You should know the reason. Since you broke the peace with God, Satan would accuse you. Then even in that case, Father God cannot protect you. So, things that are supposed to go prosperous becomes wrong. So that's why I'm telling you over and over again from this altar. Also, we should discern carefully between compromising to seek our own and following peace for God's glory. Daniel's three friends roused the great anger of the king by refusing to worship an idol. To have peace with the king, they could just bow down before the idol once. That's an easy. I mean, it's an easy job, isn't it? For those who believe in God, it is very difficult to bow down to an idol, right? Because it is like you are betraying God. So it's difficult. Now, there are some people who does this difficult job easily. You should not do so. But it is such a grave sin before God, and it breaks peace with God greatly. Daniel's three friends chose to follow peace with God at the risk of their own lives by breaking peace with the king. Now, what was the result? God the Father greatly revealed their righteousness. In other words, they were not hurt at all, even in the fiery furnace, but glorified God greatly before the king and the people. When they kept peace with God, it's not only they who received the blessing. The king and the people who witnessed that miracle also came to revere God. So, those three righteous men became peacemakers between God and the people. It is a good example of sowing in peace and reaping righteousness. In many cases, the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God may be different. Then definitely, we have to choose what is right in the sight of God. You should not choose what is right in your sight, but in the sight of God. It's not an easy job if you do not know the truth. So if you know the truth, it is an easy job to do, to choose what is right in the sight of God. Some people say they believe in God, but it's okay to worship idols. They say it's not really worshiping the demons, but just following the good tradition of a country. Or it is obeying their parents. It's all excuse, isn't it? Or they say, if we offend our unbelieving family members by not worshiping idols, it's to disgrace God. And they say evangelization is impossible with that. It is all their own thought. They say, by doing so, they cannot evangelize the family. But evangelization of the family is impossible the moment when you worship idol. But in a spiritual sense, it's exactly the opposite. If a believer bows down before idol, it disgraces God. If the peace with God is broken, God cannot work anymore, and the family evangelization is delayed. My sister came to my office, and then she told me that she was actually 70, but I told the audience that she is 69. She was the one, you know, who offered me a position in a restaurant. I was in great debt, and I was doing a labor job by that time, after I was healed, after meeting God. She told me that she would give me good payment with a house to live in. She offered me such a job. But in the middle of the conversation, I cannot come to church 2 Sundays in a month. Then I refused it. If I break the Sabbath, I cannot take it. Even though I was a novice believer, I chose that decision. I made that decision. I was poor. She offered me a job so that I can survive. But I refused the offer. Just to keep the Sabbath day holy. I was worrying about what to eat next day. This is faith, and this is to please God, isn't it? Then, in the providence of God, God refined me, because I have to recover health. And Father God gave me a walk away. If I had done a labor work under a bad leader, then, you know, I could not have been able to recover my health well. But I always met a good leader. And the man was of goodness. And he always gave me an easy job. And he asked me to take a rest if it is too difficult. Sometimes I couldn't carry the blocks to the second or third floor because I worked too hard in the morning. Others just ran because they were skilled. They were skilled laborers. But I got tired after a couple of times of, you know, after a couple of times I went up to the second floor. But then the leader told me to take a rest. Take your time, take your time. And the other workers said nothing about it. They liked me. And they gave me an easy job, even though they were labor workers. When Father God worked, they were all like that. So I could recover my health. Since I didn't compromise, Father God protected everything. Father God made people everywhere in the world to help our ministry. The crusades, broadcast ministry, book ministry. Father God made people prepared for our ministry and to help us.
Uh,
We have to translate my books into Hebrew language. The lady whose child was healed, she sent me another thank you letter. She is a translator of my books. That's why Father God gave her the grace of witnessing her son being healed. Now she is ready to help me greatly. Now, how could she send me a letter? While she was translating my books, she came to have faith. And she sent me a letter, and then her son was healed. I read the letter again. Now he is 15 months old, not 11 months old. So her son is 15 months old. He sleeps well now. And his parents receive a blessing right now. So they are so thankful. Father God gives grace to people so that they can help my ministry. When I didn't compromise, Father God has been with me and blessed me. And the family evangelization was possible. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." How can you have an enemy? Do you think you came to have an enemy because the other part is evil? You should not say so. Just as God says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I have experienced it when I went to Israel. They didn't know me. And they doubted me at first. But as I started to go to their country, once, twice, or three times, there was a work of Satan. A missionary sent letters to all the churches in Israel to stop my ministry. And then, in my next visit, the fourth visit, everything was solved. Father God made it. And then all the people came to me without misunderstanding. And they became my helper. They came to help my ministry. And they started to make peace with me. I've never judged them. I've never tried to, you know, I've always embraced them in love and peace. That's why they changed into a people. They became people to help our ministry. That's why Father God commanded me for that. Father God didn't direct me in those details. Father God just told me to go into that place on what date and come back on what date. But I made peace with everybody and I didn't make any enemies. Rather, I changed my enemies into my people that who can help me. So Father God commended me for that. Father God's word is truth, and it is absolute. If we obey His word, then everything will go as what Father God says. Since you don't control yourself and emotion, you speak badly. And if you do not control yourself, the peace will be broken. But once you fill your heart with truth and the light, then you will speak the word of goodness, and you will make peace with everybody. I said, when we first have peace with God, can we have peace with other people too? If we break peace with God to have peace with men, this is meaningless. Since you break peace with God, it's useless to make peace with man. First, you have to make peace with God, and then you make peace with people. That kind of peace can be broken at any time, and it doesn't benefit us in any way. Of course, when we don't bow down before an idol, the result may be different according to how wisely we act. If we can persuade the family members with good and wise words by the help of the Holy Spirit, it's very good. But otherwise, it is better to just stay silent. When we quietly pray and become the light and salt and accumulate goodness before God continuously, the family members will have a chance to receive salvation. But some people act in their haste and are not successful. They insist on their opinions with strong words or have quarrels with heated temper to hurt the feelings of family members. If the family evangelization is slowed down that way, we should understand. It's not that God is not working, but we are slowing down the things and making them go around again and again. For example, I think you have seen in a drama or movies the scenes in which those who were fighting for Korea's independence were arrested and interrogated. It's good to argue for the independence while they are being questioned or when they stand in the court, but they may cause more suffering for themselves if the methods they use are not good. Some of them spit on the police officers or curse at them or say something to insult the judge. They may be beaten up much more or they may receive longer terms in jail. Because of those things, there were many things like that. It happened.
I think it's more exciting to watch if they do like that. It's better to stay quiet or don't do anything to be beaten up. Just insist on independence. But why do they have to spit on other people? Someone is about to lose his life. But the man says that, you know, I will kill you if I survive. Then who will give him a chance to survive? Some people do not correctly understand the situation. It happened in history of Korea. A queen did something wrong, and the king, who loved her very much, gave her a poison. It is the situation that the queen had to drink the poison. The Shu had to bow down toward the place where the king was and drank it.
then the history, I mean, historians will write it something differently, right? But she turned up the table and she cursed at those people. And then people fed the poison into her mouth. What a miserable death she had. Even though the queen had something to be considered good, nobody thought she was good. If you do not control your emotion, you may face some difficulties. The things may not go right. What about the quarrel between you and your neighbor? Since you don't control yourself, a small quarrel becomes big fight. There are many cases like that. There are so many people like that. If you make peace with everybody, everything will be solved. Before we constructed this sanctuary, when we had old, I mean, before I built the current house, the owner of that old house was very notorious. She was quite famous. But we embraced her in love. And later, she moved to other place without saying anything. So I was able to, you know, purchase her property. If we had quarrel with her, we would not have been able to, you know, purchase that property. Father God worked so that we were able to purchase that land. Since we made peace with her. Even though they did the right thing to stand for independence, they didn't have to do unnecessary evil within their righteousness. It's not something wise. In our daily lives, we not only have to choose what is more right in the sight of God, but also we have to receive good wisdom in the methodology. Then we can have answers and blessings more quickly, and we can have peace with everybody. In other words, peace with God is not only between God and us, but peace is also in the relationship of being faithful in all God's house. Now, we are doing a special Daniel prayer meeting. Everybody wants to receive answers to their prayers. Now, when you pray for your own, you know, self-desires, try to think whether you have made peace with God. Now, or during the divine healing meeting, you have to find whether you have broke peace with God. You have to find out. If you are hot-tempered easily, then you cannot make peace with God with that temper. Father God is telling us to get rid of hot temper. But if you are hot-tempered, and if you still ask God to answer to your prayers, then do you think God will answer? Do you think God will answer, give answer to your prayers? Father God would probably say, get rid of your hot temper first. That's what I don't like. Now, do you think there is only hot temper? There are many other small evils that are attached to hot temper. There may be other evil attributes. In order to receive answer to your prayers, you have to get rid of them. Then, since your spirit and soul become prosperous, Father God will give you answers and blessings. Peace with God is not only between God and us, but peace is also in the relationship of being faithful in all God's house. Through service, sacrifice, love, and generosity, we have to have peace with others too. If we have peace with God this way, this will become our righteousness. We'll be spiritually confident before God, so we will receive answer to whatever we ask and bear the fruit of blessings everywhere. Originating with Adam, all mankind became sinners by nature, and we couldn't have peace with God, who is holy. But the sinless Jesus died for us on the cross to become the atoning sacrifice. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have been justified by faith. In other words, since we have faith, we keep the word of God, and we got rid of untruths, and we become righteous. That's why we have been justified by faith. So, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we do? We have to make peace with God. Jesus Christ became our righteousness, and by believing in this fact, we can be justified and have peace with God. But being forgiven of our sins is not the end. Once we are justified by faith, we must grow up to have true faith accompanied by deeds. We have to cast away sins and evil and cultivate the attributes of the righteousness in our hearts like holiness, gentleness, reasonableness, and mercy. If we still live in sins, our peace with God will be broken. God sacrificed His one and only Son, to have peace with us, and we should not break this peace from our side. I hope all of you will quickly cast away all sins and evil. By doing so, I hope that you will have more peace with God and have deeper relationship with God. Then, you will be acknowledged as God's friend like Abraham and Moses. Those who have peace with God this way will cause others to have peace with God too, so that those people can receive blessings. Abraham had peace with God, and his nephew Lot was also blessed. Because of Moses, who was confident before God, all the sons of Israel were shown forgiveness and mercy. When we can guide many souls to God this way and let them have peace with God, we can be called true children of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Sons of God, right? After I believed in Jesus Christ, and since I came to church, I am the son of God, right? But there is a condition in the Bible. Father God didn't just call you, "You are my son" or "You are my daughter," without any condition. When Father God says, "You are my true children," you should come to spirit and whole spirit. Then Father God will call you my son and my daughter. Then Father God will guarantee you. Since Father God, you know, appoints you as His true child, angel will protect you. And Father God will guarantee your prayer as well. It does not mean that you are not sons or daughters when you are in the first, second, or third level of faith. But when you come to spirit, then Father God will call you, you are my true son and true daughter. At the end of Joseon Dynasty, Daewon-gun had the great authority because he was the father of the king. He had the great authority and power. But he was not in a good position with his, you know, daughter-in-law. But later, he received the sentence of death. Daewon-gun could not save his own son because of the some schemes of others. Now, we are all sons and daughters of Father God. But when we resemble the Lord and recover the lost image of Father God, then when we obey the word of, when we obey God, not the enemy, devil, and Satan, we become children of God. But the Bible says, as long as we commit sin, we are the children of Satan and devil. You may say you did something evil on your side, but those who have spiritual eyes see us, then it is the work of Satan and the devil. Since you obeyed the enemy, devil, and Satan, you become son and a daughter of the enemy, devil, and Satan. Even though there are many people who call Father God Father, there are not many sons and daughters that Father God truly acknowledge. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Means they pursue peace with God and other people, with everybody. That's why they are called sons of God. And they can see God and the Lord. Even if you go to heaven, you won't be able to see our Father God and the Lord face to face unless you come to the third kingdom of heaven or New Jerusalem. When you come to the third kingdom of heaven and New Jerusalem, you may be able to see Father God and the Lord face to face. Those who have come into spirit and whole spirit, they pursue peace and their heart is filled with the truth. And they become the peacemakers and they are called sons of God. Now those who are called sons of God, now what kind of blessings they have received? The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, they receive all kinds of blessings recorded in the Bible. They become the hand. and their soul and spirit being prosperous. And they are protected from all kinds of diseases. But when you don't live by the word of God, when you don't keep the word of God, you are stricken by all kinds of diseases. When you do not obey, when you disobey God, that kind of diseases will come on you because God doesn't protect you by justice. So, if you commit the deeds of the flesh, you are stricken of the lung diseases or the tuberculosis. It is also written in the New Testament. Father God says, Father God tells you to knock and ask, then you will be given. Now, when you pray, did you receive answer? That's why I'm asking you to come into spirit. Once you are acknowledged as Son of God, then whatever you ask, you will receive answer. Since you are confident before God, you can ask God, you can ask everything, then you will receive answer to all your prayers. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, watching the news these days, we feel our times are quite chaotic. All the news we hear is about people having difficult times, and people say they can't bear it anymore. They are fired, they lose their jobs, they become bankrupt. Even in the times like this, God's wisdom can give us comfort and peace and lead us to the way of blessings. The sons of Israel in the land of Goshen were protected even in the midst of 10 plagues on the whole land of Egypt. Even when there was great famine for 7 years, Joseph made the Pharaoh rich and took care of his people in abundance. If you undergo small trial or refinements, you have to look back on yourself. Why you are not protected? Last Monday, I hit the transparent glass. I didn't know there was a glass. I thought there was no window. And I ran into that window, thick window. So I hit myself against the window. And my teeth was, swinging, back and forth. And I was hurt. But I didn't bleed. Elder Choi said I should be, careful with what I eat. But I didn't have any problem with my eating. Why wasn't I protected? The glass was not broken, and I was not bleeding. So thank you. But why wasn't I protected? I looked back on myself. Then I realized many things. I had to move myself very slowly because whenever I touched something, I had some kind of electric shock on all over my body, especially on my fingers. So I have to touch it very slowly. I couldn't even shake hands with people. I remember that time. Father God made me so that I can speak and I can behave slowly and quietly, so that I could do just the way our Lord Jesus Christ did. And I had a habit of opening my door very slowly and close it very slowly. But it happened in late 1980s. Now, about 20 years have passed. And I was kind of rushed. Even inside my room, I should walk slowly. But since I was hurrying, I hit myself against the window. So I gave thanks to God again. Father God made me reminded of the things that happened 20 years ago. In everything I speak, I behave, I should be careful. So I was reminded of those things. So I thought myself that I should be more careful. My bed has a very sharp frame. So sometimes, you know, I hurt my knees whenever I try to pass by the bed. Then I just pray on my knee and then it's healed. That's right. I was rough. I became rough in my behavior. Someone told me to get rid of the frame, but I said, leave it alone. All I have to do is just be more careful and avoid it. My wife bought that frame. All I have to do is just be careful, more careful, then it will be fine. So that frame became my teacher again. Many the people in the history were like that. He taught his student. He said to his student, his student was in his 20s. And he was about more than 60s or 70s. And they had a conversation. And the teacher, respected that young man at 20s. But the teacher respected him very much. So the young man was, you know, embarrassed. But still, the teacher respected him. How can I speak hard words just because you are younger than I am? I can learn even from an animal. Everybody and everything is my teacher. I have at least one thing that I can learn from anything. That you can become my teacher. How can I not respect you? He had a big vessel of heart. Even though he was younger than he was, he respected even the younger man. Even when there was great famine of 7 years, Joseph made the Pharaoh rich and took care of his people in abundance. We finish this message on wisdom from above as of today. through the 9 messages you listened to so far, I hope you will understand what true wisdom is. After all, wisdom is the 66 books of the Word of God itself. It is to keep the commandments, cast away evil, and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the sanctified heart. The 66 books of the Bible itself becomes the wisdom. That's why so many Israelis became the Nobel Prize award. But nowadays, not many Israelis receive Nobel Prize, right? Of course not. Why? When I went to Israel, sometimes I was surprised. I was told that even when they were a small child, they memorized the Bible. They read the Bible all the time. That's what I was told when I was a seminary school student. Even before they get 12 years old, they memorize the Bible. I was taught like that from professors. So I believed it before I went to Israel. But last time, when I had a meeting with your Orthodox Jewish people, I realized it's not true. They do not know the Bible, even though they are Orthodox Jews. They do not read the Bible. They just keep the feast. They keep the feast, but they do not know the Bible. I was worrying whether they know too much, but I know nothing. I know little. But I came to realize that they do not know the Bible. Even young people do not know anything about the Bible. That's why there is no more Jewish Nobel Prize awardees. Do you know why? Wisdom is contained in the Bible. Since they don't read the Bible, wisdom is not there. And in the main concept, I explain the 5 specific aspects of wisdom with examples. If you are sanctified, naturally you will be guided by the Holy Spirit. You will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is the guidance of God the Father, who knows everything. So you will be short of nothing. Do you think you will fear of the enemy devil and Satan? When Father God leads you in every way, your soul and spirit will prosper. Since your spirit and soul prosper, from the first to the third level of faith, they belong to the man of flesh. Their mind is set on the flesh. Since the spirit cannot have complete control of themselves. But once they come into spirit, the spirit will take the control of them. And the body will subject to the spirit. Whenever the spirit says something, the body will obey.
오히려 주인을 그냥 이겨 먹으려고 하는데 무슨 종입니까? 종도 참된 종이 돼야지. 우리 하나님이 종 하면서 종이면 참된 종.
If you are a servant of God, you should become a true servant, right?
무조건 믿고 순종하고.
You should obey and believe as long as it is the word of God. And you have to accomplish everything by prayers. Since spirit and soul prosper, the body will obey the spirit. Then, everything will be prosperous. Everything will be prosperous. Then you will become healthy in spirit and in body. Now, can you understand me? It's too easy, isn't it?
쉬운데 양식만 삼고 행하식만 하면
All you have to do is just to cultivate in your heart and put it into practice.
예. 그래서 이렇게 계명을 지키고 악을 버리는 것이며 성결된 마음에 성령의 인도를 받는 것이 지혜인 것이라. 성령의 인도를 받으니 지혜라 이 말입니다. 그것을
And in the main content I explain the five specific aspects of wisdom with examples. I hope you will keep in mind each of these aspects, such as being pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. Even if you think you have cultivated truth in you to quite an extent, I hope you will check yourself more deeply. I hope you will always check yourself as to whether you are really right, whether what you taught, what you thought, said, or did were really right, so that you can really cultivate perfection. Even if you come into spirit, it's not the end. There is a level of whole spirit. When you made it to whole spirit, then there is another upper level. In the morning, someone asked me, someone said, you know, she tried to get rid of adultery from her heart. This morning she told me that she got rid of adultery in her mind. So, how can you prove it? I asked her. If you do not have any thought of adultery, and then I gave her an example. Let's say she, a very good figured man is standing right before you and dancing. But if your heart doesn't sway, and if you don't have any thought of adultery, then we can say that you have no adultery in your mind. Then, whatever you see or hear, it doesn't become seen because you have no adultery in your heart. A man is naked before you, but if you don't have any adultery in your heart, then you finally get rid of adultery in your heart. That's what I said to her. What about men? A naked woman, a good-looking, naked woman, is dancing before you. Give you in an open pose. But if you don't have any mind of adultery, then you have no adultery in your heart. Then Father God will say, you have no sin in your heart. You should be like that. Then you can be completely sanctified and clean and cleansed. There are other stuff too. If you can get rid of the mind of adultery, then you can get rid of others too. Then you can receive the guidance and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you will communicate with God. Of course, you will manifest the power of God. Even if you think you have cultivated truth in you to quite an extent, I hope you will check yourself more deeply. May you also be able to guide countless souls to God and shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. This close the message, the wisdom from above. This message about wisdom should be cultivated in your heart. Then you will become a man of wisdom. This is not the wisdom of the world. You should consider yourself a fool if you have wisdom of the world. It's useless. There were many people in this church who were full of wisdom. But sometimes they are not found. Then I asked where they are. Then they are in some kind of darkness. You should have the wisdom of spirit. Then impossible become possible, and the possible become more prosperous. The percentage of spiritual level is going up and up. God said, you will change even the heart of man. You will experience it as the percentage goes up. Now, I am in the process of experiencing it. When I went to Israel, I changed the heart of the Orthodox Jewish people. And today, I had that experience too. I made my sister to become a lady who can help my ministry in peace. Father God told me to harbor the people that only I can harbor so that I can change. But there are people that I should not. That is the word of God. Please keep in mind and receive wisdom from above. Let's think of the message and pray together. Father God, this was the last part of the wisdom from above message. Let all our church members bear it in their mind and let them become a man of wisdom. Help them and bless them, Father. Father, please bless them. Bless them, Father. And let them become a man of wisdom that is given by God. Father, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hand on the sick part of your body or infirmities of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hand on them. Transcending space and time, lay your hand on those people who are receiving this prayer through satellites and internet from all the branch churches around the world. GCN TV viewers and Mamin TV viewers. So many people sent their pictures requesting their prayers. Please lay your hand on these people. But please, there is a prayer request from Mr. Gabriel Banza. Please lay your hand on him and then answer to their prayers. Please, I'll pray for the new cabinet of the President of Congo, Mr. Joseph Kabila. But please bless him so that he can appoint many good men as a minister in his cabinet. But please protect his country and let all the civil wars come to an end and let there be peace in the country. And bless the assistant to the persons and his secretary offices. Let them be acknowledged and loved. And he would like to come to November's special divine healing meeting day. Please let them prepare well. And when they receive prayer, let them be completely healed and let them give glory to you. Father, thank you. Sung Shui and Sung Wei requested prayer for the financial blessing and to be sanctified quickly and to be faithful to their duties, and for her sister Sung Wei to be protected in the space of the shepherd. Li Sing Mei requested prayer to receive strength in evangelization and to be faithful to her duty. And for the family evangelization of the sons, Yang Hua Chi, Yang Hua Rin, Yang Hua Qing, Yang Hua Zhang, Yang Hua Hai. Bu Xingyang requested prayer to have his faith grow up. And for the mental healing of the mental illness of his son. Yi Son Og requested prayer for the high blood pressure and the itching skin and for the business. She also requested prayer for her husband for the his leg being rotten and for the depression. All the depression go away. And for her daughter to be healed of depression and the breast tumor, be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. May the light come. May the light come. And for her daughter, her young, for to be healed of depression. Father, please lay your hand on all these people from head to toe in every intestines and nerve system. Burn all the diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All the pains go away. All the infirmities go away. Let them become healthy, Father. All the diseases go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All the depression go away. All the enemy, devil, and Satan go away. May the light come. Father, please work on them. Father, please work on these people. Let them see well. Let them hear well. Let them speak well. And all kinds of cancer go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let them become healthy in spirit and in body. And let them become blessed in this week. Father, thank you. Let the impossible become possible and the possible become even more prosperous. I delivered the 9 wisdom from above message. Let them become men of wise. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.